Good evening, folks. This is Carolyn Evers, and you know who I'm going to introduce, my wonderful co-host. Hi, Charlene.
Hi there, everybody.
Anyway, this is a grand day. We have some beautiful blankets of white snow on everything, and looking at it from the inside, outside, it is gorgeous. We were talking about that earlier, weren't we, Charlene?
Yes,
how beautiful creation is.
Yeah, it's wonderful. But we also said how wonderful it is to be looking in from the warmth into out to the snow, and how wonderful both of them are.
Indeed. A couple things I wanted to talk about tonight. One of the things that I wanted to mention is dreams. You know, dreams is a fascinating subject, I do believe. And science seems to know a lot about dreams, and they tell us about the different states of dreams and when you go to sleep, some of the things that happen. But, of course, those who are interested in metaphysics believe that some other things happen that perhaps the scientists don't talk about. One of the things that I wanted to mention was, Charlene, to you and those who are out there listening, is emotion. I had been asleep, and when I woke up, I was feeling emotions that I didn't feel when I went to sleep. And that was fear. I was not feeling fearful, but when I woke up, I recognized I was feeling this element of fear, and I was trying to figure out what was it that happened during the sleep state that a fear came up that I had to clear. So I thought that was an interesting subject, because a lot of times we wake up and we're on the rounds of our work, whatever it is that's calling us, and we don't always think of how we felt the moment, that fleeting moment as we are waking up. It's kind of tenuous. You're half asleep and you're half awake, and you bring forth an emotion that I do believe you were exploring during the sleep state. Have you had an instance like that, Charlene, that you can remember?
Oh, yeah, several times, yeah.
Uh-huh.
If you can have, I'd like to remember all of my dreams, but apparently what happens is you go from the delta and you go into a state of awaking so quickly that you bypass being able to recall what the dream was about, because usually they have a message for you.
Well,
but
that's
I don't
true.
Remember them all.
That's true. But I, at this particular incident, I really wasn't dreaming that I recall dreaming. You know, sometimes you wake up, you've had a dream, you might not remember the dream, but you knew you were dreaming. In this particular instance, I was not dreaming, I just brought forth this emotion. And in doing channeling, spirits and those on from the spiritual hierarchy have discussed an element of sleep, in the sense that if we don't face something in our waking state, that it's brought in the back door, so to speak, that it comes in the back door during sleep and during dreams for us to resolve a situation that we are not facing in our waking state. And that's why I thought it was very interesting to not only talk about dreams, but to talk about the emotion that you might felt. So there, on some level, there was a clearing of fear that I needed to clear and perhaps hadn't done so yet. So emotions are very powerful, and if we suppress them and don't clear them, I do believe that it affects the physical. And I know that you believe that too, Charlene, that our
right.
emotional state being so close to the physical body will have an effect on the physical if we do not clear it, if it's a negative emotion?
Well, usually the cells will end up carrying the memory, and they'll manifest to you on the metaphysical what is going on a subconscious level.
Mm-hmm.
So it helps you to identify it, but not always.
No, not always.
Sometimes you know that something's going on, but you're not aware of it, what the metaphysical is for it.
And sometimes you really have to make a special effort to bring it forth so that you can face it, deal with it, and clear it. Folks, our number here, we do have a toll-free number, and if you're listening to us someplace in the U.S., give us a call, 877-876-5227. I can give you a couple really good reasons why you should pick up your telephone and give us a call.
Okay.
Number one, something that I work with, if you wish to connect to one of your angels, give me a call. We'll see if we just can't make them more real to you so that you can sense in some fashion the wonderful protection that your guardian angel has been giving to you through your many lifetimes. Actually, from the time that your soul was brought into form, you were given your guardian angel. Kind of a reassuring thought, isn't it, Charlene?
Yes, it is.
Yeah, to think from the very beginning, God paired you up with one or more guardian angels. And on one of our conference calls, I believe it was Yeshua, said that the more guardian angels that you have, the more is expected of you.
Oh, I see.
So don't be envious if somebody else has another one more guardian angel that you do. You've got more to answer for.
You have more responsibility, right?
Right, right, right.
Oh, dear. You must have a myriad of them.
So, I think, you know, this is very interesting. Also, I work with the Akashic Records, and they're the ones that I work with is the Universal Akashic Records in the center of the cosmos. You might have a question or something that you want us to look up. Sometimes people want to know about missions. And we are past Valentine's Day, but I do get a lot of questions about people wanting to know if they've made an agreement with their twin soul to come in this lifetime together and work. So I do get a lot of questions on that. Now, Charlene, what is the answer? Well,
they're
different answers. The last question, someone had asked for a reading, and they were attracted to a particular individual, and they wanted to know if that was their twin flame, and if it wasn't, would they meet their twin flame? Well, it so happened in this particular situation that this individual that they had met and had this great attraction for was not their twin flame, that they had not agreed to meet their twin flame on the physical level, but this individual that they had met was an individual that they had had other lifetimes with, and they had lived their lives helping one another in great cooperation, and what was in the record is that if the two of them had a free choice, since this is a free will planet, to become closer aligned with one another and be helpmates to one another, and if they chose to do that, it would work out to be a very harmonious relationship. Interestingly, and I'm glad you asked me about this, Sherlyn, because I wasn't going to mention it, their twin flame was in spirit, and the twin flame was helping this soul to work towards ascension, because when this individual ascended, the two of them were going to unite at that point and move on together into the next higher dimension. interesting thought, I think. Don't you think so?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So that is what they agreed on, and what the one learned on this side of the veil, so to speak, would be available to the twin soul when the two of them met in a higher dimension. So I kind of thought that was interesting how that worked. Now, Charlene, your work is beautiful work, and I have come to be in real awe in what you bring to the audience and to your healing in general.
Hello.
Give a word about how you work. Did I hear a hello?
Yes. Oh.
And your name, please.
This is Jillian.
Jillian, I wasn't aware that you were on the other line. I'm sorry.
That's okay. I really appreciated hearing everything you were saying about dreams, and I didn't know if I should interrupt.
Oh, you know, sometimes the people in our listening audience, I think, work the same way. They enjoy the information we bring forth, and they are learning something, and they sit back and listen instead of calling in. Jillian, what can we do for you, dear?
I thank you very much for suggesting that I called you back this evening so that I could get a little bit of input, hopefully from the Akashic Record, on what my mission might be in this lifetime.
Okay, I will be glad to do that. Because we have some people in the audience who perhaps haven't listened to this show before, I would just like to mention that our records are shown to me in what appears to be the form of a book, though in actuality it is not really a book. It is an electromagnetic spot that deposits our vibrations of everything that we have ever, all of our deeds and events and things that have to do with our life in this place. And it's in the form of a circle. It's kind of fascinating, Jillian, because it is very similar to a backup on a computer. If you're talking about a backup on a floppy disk, our records in reality are something like that. And the individuals who hold these records are, of course, the cherubim. And the reason that all the records are gathered and held in their care is because they understand vibration on a level that many others do not. This is the reason that Source created them, actually, to work with vibration. Their vibration is what actually holds the created world together. They take the vibration from Source, move it around the entire cosmos where all of the information is imprinted upon it, and then it eventually makes its way back to the center of the cosmos where all this information is stripped away and stored. So it's quite fascinating how it operates. Now, at your request, Jillian, matter of fact, I see right now there is a cherubim that is standing with your record, and they even though they're androgynous, they show themselves as females, angels to the human race because they have this nurturing aspect, like the mother, and so they show me that they'll give me that appearance. Your record in this book, it has a brown cover on it, and what that means is you were created under the pink ray, under the ray of love. When souls are created or were created, there was a sound that Source brought forth. There was colors. It was quite interesting how there was sound and color and the emotion from Source. And when the soul was brought forth on that color ray, it is an indication, a call for a soul to serve in a particular way. And so you and the other souls that were created were called forth under the ray of love. So librarians would love the written word. Nurses would serve in love to serve humanity in the healing process. And so there are many workers in many different areas expressing love in some fashion. It is the secondary colors that come forth that indicate the area that the soul is working forth in love. And the cherubim are showing me that your ray there, the secondary ray, there is this brilliant, it's not quite a golden ray, it is more a yellow ray. So in this central theme of love, there is this great wisdom. So you are carrying wisdom along with love. And this incarnation is designed, you along with your soul, you know, your soul worked along with deciding how they were going to explore this time before they sent you to incarnate. And they're showing me how you stood, your soul was before this board. Very advanced beings have this opportunity to make these choices. And so your soul was there before this board discussing what you're going to do in this particular lifetime. And those from your group who have helped you in the past are there, and you're choosing the different individuals that you are going to meet and bring forth so that your mission evolves. And so this time you're working on the wisdom aspect. You've worked on the love aspect in many of your lifetimes. But in that journey of love, you have gathered great resources of wisdom. So this is why you came this particular lifetime, because this is a lifetime of being in a place of great spiritual evolutionary process. That is why you came. You came to take advantage of these opportunities because you have received so much in the past. You are bringing your wisdom now to offer to the human race. Now, how did you choose to express that wisdom? The cherubim are showing me that you're when the soul sent your body into this lifetime to create the element of the vibration that was sent, what we call the subtle bodies, that step from the spirit into the physical world, it carried with it a pattern, a blueprint. And in that blueprint, there is something that is very strong in your physical, and that is the ability to pick up the sounds and the inspiration from source. Do you ever feel that sometimes where you feel this great inspiration, this great love, and you feel like it's coming from another place beyond you?
Yes. You're fading a little bit, but I can hear you.
Good.
And yes, I do have that sense.
So you feel this inspiration?
Yes, I do. I do. I've had a lot of difficulty in this lifetime with the planet, and I still have difficulty in knowing where this wisdom is to be applied and how best to apply it. But yes, I do get a sense of a connecting love that is inside of me that resides elsewhere.
Well, this is what you're in the process of developing, the connection. In other words, you have done this in the past. You know how to bring forth the inspiration, the wisdom from the higher planes, and right now you are internalizing this. You are working on bringing forth the process of how to hear and how to implement. You've had a lot of hardships in your life, but in your hardships, you have learned a tremendous amount. Sometimes you feel that what you've learned was pain and suffering, but yet it is this pain and this suffering that you have gone through that has brought forth a very strong element in your understanding of the relationship between the physical and between the spiritual. You are just starting to open up to this, and you're coming along very quickly with this. Are you meditating at all, Julian?
I do. I wouldn't call it meditate in the way that I used to many, many years ago, but I always raise my vibration by working with energy. Mm-hmm. But I don't meditate in the way of getting silent and listening. I haven't been doing that.
Well, you're opening up that connection. Now, when you raise your vibration and you go into this quiet space, there is a silence. Do you recognize the silence that I'm talking about?
Yes.
Okay, it is that silence. When you go into the silence, you are listening. Do you sense yourself listening?
I haven't been doing that, but I have done that. In other words, there was a time in my life when I listened. And in this particular time frame, I get still. I know how to get very still, but it's more working with my energy fields. That's what I've been doing. But what I'm hearing you say is I need to return to listening.
Well, I'm not saying do it entirely. You have found something that you're comfortable with. Continue with that. But at times, also listen. Because you're connecting, you're making those connections between the higher plane. And what you need to do is listen sometimes and put yourself in the receptive mood to receive. In other words, it's like turning on a radio. It's like turning on the reception, because you're in the situation right now where you have earned the right. This is something that you have earned through past lifetimes and this last lifetime, earned the right to be the receiver and receive inspiration directly from Source. And I'm talking about Source in the center of the cosmos, because this is what your soul has decided to do, to take the wisdom and bring it forth today to receive the inspiration from Source. And you're going to start to write this inspiration down. And what you're going to be receiving is very mainstream. Now, what I mean by mainstream is not so much what you would consider esoteric information, what people would recognize as esoteric information, but something very down to earth that souls who are not following the spiritual path, who do not understand metaphysics, will be able to pick up your book, and it will seem like very soothing, comfortable information, but it will come directly from Source. And it will be very mainstream. Do you understand what I'm saying by that?
Yes. Yes, I do. Yes, I do. I really do.
Yes, you have a brilliant future in front of you, Julian. You have suffered, but allow yourself now to move to the next stage. Move the suffering, as far as I can see, that suffering aspect will be over as soon as you move into this next space, and trust. Do you think you're ready to trust?
Well, I have to be. I have to be, because I have no. I don't. All of the support systems have been kicked out, and I've maintained my energy in a place of peace and tranquility, considering everything that's been taken. And I know on a deep level that I have to absolutely trust.
Well, that's beautiful. Do me a favor, Julian. I want you to listen. I want you to start receiving. I mean, your soul made this arrangement. Start receiving the inspiration. Give us a call back when this starts. I would like to celebrate with you.
Thank you very much, both of you, for everything that you have given me.
My pleasure. Our pleasure.
I thank you.
Okay, dear. Bye. Well, that was very fascinating, Charlene. I want to turn the attention to you now and give our listeners a bit of a concept as to how you work, because there's always new people out there.
Okay. Well, usually what I'll do is if an individual calls me with an issue that they have, maybe it's physical, maybe it's emotional, maybe it's they're wanting to create something different in their life.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe they're wanting to have something as much fun as just having a new house. And so usually I'll ask them precisely what they want to have the house to be, like how many rooms. They have to be very precise in what they're asking for, because the energy out there only understands what you say. So if you're putting your verbalization out in the universe, you got to be very precise, or you might just get sort of a random idea of what you're asking for. So in other words, if I'm helping somebody with a house, so because they want to buy a house and have a home, their first home, then I have them say, okay, now you've got to tell me how many bedrooms. You've got to be very precise what you want in the kitchen. You have to do, and you have to go through, I'll go through the whole thing with them, even as much as the backyard or the front. Because
so you're painting a picture.
Yeah, they're painting a picture in their imagination, what they want, but they're verbalizing it. So
mm-hmm.
everything that we say and everything that we think and everything that we feel has a vibrational frequency, and it's projected into the field or to the quantum field. And when it's presented there, it is understood because it's a vibrational frequency. And that comes from all of what I was just saying. So if we're doing anything that's in feelings, like you were saying, you woke up feeling, a feeling that you had, and then you said you had to clear that feeling. So those feelings are important because they manifest to us exactly what a vibrational frequency that what we're at. And then that's what we become. So it's very important that if we're verbalizing something, I tell everybody, be very aware of what you say, because the spoken word is very important because it has a vibrational frequency on it, and it becomes your reality. And those things that you think. So it's important that we guard our thinking very closely, because we can say verbalization or say the words and then turn around and turn around and in our mind we're thinking negative thoughts. So
now, well, that's the first step. After the person has painted the picture and they know what they want, then
right.
What's the next step that,
okay,
that you work
in the,
with?
In the meantime, what they're doing is verbalizing what they want. So that's, and then they start imagining it, and then I'll say to them, okay, when you walk in that house, how do you feel? How does it make you feel that you're manifesting that home? And they'll say, oh, it's just what I want. I feel so happy. So they've created another sense of vibrational frequency.
Mm-hmm.
And then when we go into the quantum field, we go in and ask higher source or God to put that in the field for them, because they've now manifested in all areas. And it usually will come to them, but very seldom it doesn't. You know, if it doesn't come to them, it's because God will say, that particular home will not serve you because there's something wrong with it.
Mm-hmm.
And usually he'll let us know if that's not the right one. But in most cases, I'm working on one right now with a lady, and they said, well, you know, it's not going through. And I said, well, but it's been put in the field. And she said, well, but it's not happening. I said, wait, the timing is not correct. Just wait and let's see what happens. Because sometimes once you put it in God's field, it works out for your best interest. God's going to make sure that it comes to, for your full circle, that'll serve you for your best. So a lot of times what we end up doing is we go in and we analyze it to death. Well, they just didn't like our offer. Or, you know, you go say all kinds of stuff. Or there's all kinds of things that we might think or verbalize. You have to stay out of it. Or if we're setting a goal for something else, we'll set the goal and say, well, I can't, for instance, if I have somebody that is wanting to graduate from college and they're just struggling with making it, then we can go in and start asking God, okay, what is really interfering with this graduation from this individual? What kind of programming? Is it on past life? Is it from their DNA? Is it something that has been taught to them as they were growing up about their ability to learn?
Well, when you work on healing this and clearing it, what are you seeing, Charlene?
Well, sometimes I'll see what's going on, and then I'll tell them what God's showing me. And then I'll say to them, does this make sense? Kind of like what you were saying. Does this make sense to you? Is this really how you feel about this? I had one lady, she just about ready to graduate, had 2 months left, and all of a sudden she was just not making it, wasn't turning in her assignments, she was doing poorly in class. I don't remember whether I mentioned this before, but then it took two or three times with going in and asking and seeing what was going on, and one day I heard to ask her, what was it that you were told when you were growing up about your learning? She said, oh, my mother always told me that I was too stupid to learn anything. So the subconscious, as soon as she had learned, was in the process of getting graduating, that started coming into play and started to sabotage her graduating. The subconscious is very obedient to what it's been taught. And so it started setting her up to fail, because in her head and in her subconscious, she was hearing, you're too stupid to learn anything. So
well,
it was setting her up for not learning.
Well, when this was discovered, how did you work with it?
Okay, so then what we did was we went in with her, it was with God, and we went in and asked God to pull out of the subconscious mind the words that were said, you are too stupid to learn anything. Pull those words out. They're a vibrational frequency. Also, the feelings that she had associated with it. God pulled out the negative, and replaced it with, I am smart. I learn all things easily. I enjoyed my graduation, and then we named the college that she was in, and I enjoy my graduation. I have enjoyed my graduation, and we named the college. And she graduated from college.
I was going to ask you how the end of the story came about. I figured there was a good ending here.
Well, it was a good ending because we had to pull out the negative that wasn't serving her, and God put in a positive to replace it. Now, the subconscious doesn't have the ability to reason, because when I was being trained as a clinical hypnotherapist, we learned that the subconscious has no ability for reasoning. So if you say, don't forget the milk, and then they come home without the milk, you say, why didn't you get the milk? He said, oh, did you tell me to get some milk? Because you told it to forget the milk.
Mm-hmm.
So you have to be aware of your verbalization, because the subconscious can't reason don't. It can't reason try or should or could. I might can or I'm going to, because it doesn't know when you're going to. So I
would you repeat those words, because I think this is interesting. Repeat those words that the subconscious does not recognize.
Okay, it doesn't have the ability for reasoning. So if you use the word don't forget the milk, it only hears forget the milk. Because don't brings in the ability to have to say, well, now, does she really want me to remember it or to forget it? See, it doesn't have the ability for reasoning.
Well, yeah, you said don't, but there were a couple other words there.
Okay, another one is try.
Try,
try,
okay.
Is not a definite answer. Should or could, I might. Now, if you say to the children, well, I might let you go.
Uh-huh.
Well, to them, I might let you go. It said let you go.
Mm-hmm.
So they go, and you're mad at them because what? They went and did what you told them to. Because you said, you see? And then, because with a child, you just told them yes.
I think it's important to understand this because, my goodness, you said child. Let's put teenagers in there, too.
Well, but, you know, basically...
If we're using these words...
Oh, yeah, because basically we're all in that place.
If and you're using
said,
this...
Well, I could do such and such. What does that mean to the subconscious? You could, but it doesn't say when. So if we say to somebody, well, I think you need to do such and such, the subconscious doesn't know what you said.
Mm-hmm.
So if you say, okay, on May 14th, you will move out, then it understands what has been told. Usually the person will then turn around and make, even on a subconscious level, will start making plans for moving out on the 14th. But otherwise, if you say, well, I just want you to move out, the subconscious all goes, oh, ho, hum, wonder when that's going to be. And then they don't move out, and then the mother is upset because the kids are still there, and they were supposed to, they're still living with them, living off of them. And it's because you didn't give them a definite decision. So we have to be more careful. I know that there's some schools now that are recognizing the fact that it's the way we verbalize. Like if we say to a child, they're getting ready, go to bed, and you say, well, now pick up your toys. Don't forget to pick up your toys before you go to bed. Well, they're still laying on the floor and you're upset. They didn't mind you. But you told them to forget them.
Well, the mother didn't think she said that.
No, I know. But it was her words that were processed, not what she thought, but the words she processed.
And that can be very frustrating.
Oh, it is frustrating. I've been there and done that several times in raising children. So I have to kind of watch it. One time I said to my granddaughter, would you bring in the outside garbage cans? We were going to go someplace in the car. I said, would you remember to bring those in before we leave? She says, okay. So we got in the car, and I backed out the driveway, and she says, oh, I forgot to bring them in, didn't I? You know, and I didn't have to say anything. So we stopped the car. She got out and put them in. But see, she, all of a sudden, the subconscious clicked and said, oh, remember to bring in the garbage cans.
Well, I think we all learned a little something about that, how your words make an impression on someone and how they don't.
Well,
let's move on a little bit to some of the work that you've done with clearing DNA.
Okay, with the DNA, that's a very interesting thing. Sometimes an individual can have problems, let's say with learning or with hearing the sounds in the words. Now, it might come in with a DNA of how the mind processes the sounds, and it might come in a DNA. If that DNA was, it might be prevalent within that individual, but it might be maybe one of the parents have that same issue.
Mm-hmm.
Or maybe they know of a grandparent that had that issue, and they have it too. They don't hear all of the sounds in a word. And everybody thinks, why do they say the word like that? It's not processing. It has nothing to do with their choice. It has to be with the DNA. Or maybe you have a DNA from a behavior pattern that comes in from your ancestors. And then once that is cleared, then all of a sudden God will go in and take out that isn't serving you, that you asked for. He'll take that out of your DNA and replace it with a positive. Is that what you're asking me?
Yes, it's exactly what I'm asking, except there's just a little piece here that perhaps I know what you're talking about, but
somebody
listening
might. Okay,
to this
ahead.
Might not realize is you're actually going into an altered state to do this work.
Right.
And
I'm going into a theta state, which slows down the brain wave from 4 to 6 cycles per second. And when you do that, you're in a theta state.
Well, this is what I really wanted to get to, because I do believe this is something that people can learn how to do themselves, but
yes,
they don't recognize it. And they don't believe at the time that this is something that they can program themselves.
Yeah, because they can recognize it. I think part of it is getting the training or go in and just ask God, oh, I see that this is a DNA that I have with, say, I see that it's a DNA. Maybe it's a behavior pattern that they see that they have that's maybe like a grandpa.
Mm-hmm.
They say, well, you know, I don't want it. I don't choose. You don't say I don't want. You see, you say, I choose to do different. I choose to not have that in my DNA. I don't want to bring that forward. Then ask God to pull it. But make sure that you have something you want to replace it with. Because what's called the vacuum effect, whenever you take something out, you always want to put it back, something in its place. In other words, when we were talking about before, if you have, say, most people say, you know, I'm just so dumb, I can't remember anything. Well, if you put in, you know, it's very difficult. Right now I didn't get that, but I'll get it.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of times if I can't come up with a word or a name or something, I'll say, oh, wait it just a minute. I'll get that in just a minute. Well, then my subconscious says, oh, okay, give it to her in a minute, and it does.
Next time, tell your subconscious you'll get it in a microsecond.
Yeah.
Why wait a minute?
Okay, that's a good one. Okay, give it to me now. I had one time I was working with a client, and I couldn't come up with what I needed, this word, and I just struggled, and I said, oh, well, I'll get it in just a minute. Well, it didn't come. It didn't come. The next day I'm driving in my car, and it comes up. And I said, oh, well, now you're doing it. It's too late.
Like I said, Charlene, microsecond, dear.
I think that's, you're probably right in on that. Because part of it is, it's kind of interesting. If I'm working with somebody in their past life, a lot of times, since I'm so visual, the God will show me exactly sometimes what has happened in their past life and show me what he's pulling out and clearing for them. Or it might be in a DNA and they're not aware of what has got them so hung up on certain issues in their life, and he'll show me. Or he'll show me, maybe it's in their, from conception to childhood. There's been many, many times that all of a sudden he'll show me what has happened to that individual that has got them in a place that they're at.
Well, Charlene, all of this is so fascinating. I know people are out there listening to all this beautiful wisdom, and I want to tell them that we are coming up to the last 10 minutes of the show, and if you want to call in and receive some of Charlene's wisdom, or you want to connect with an angel, give us a call here. It's toll-free, 877-876-5227, and you can sit back and listen to us chat, or if you're going to call in, gotta, like, do it now.
Well, maybe tonight is the night for learning.
Perhaps. Before we go on, because there is something I wanted to touch base with you about, would you give the people your telephone number in case they want to call you privately and work with you?
Yeah, because it's a little easier when you address personal issues that a person is having and be able to go in and have God clear those personal issues rather than airing them on the radio, you know. It's easier to say, well, I'm having an issue with my daughter or with a neighbor or coworker or something, and go in and have God actually clear it for you so it's not there anymore. So it's Mountain Standard Time, 801-944-9346.
Oh, you did that so perfectly. Thank you.
Well, you're getting me educated here. Do it again, Charlene. You just say, well, now, what time is that, Charlene? You're always trying to get me to get the whole thing in.
Now, I would like to mention, I see somebody did call. They took me up on it in your name.
Hi, Carolyn. This is Jean. How are you?
Hi, Jean. Oh, my golly. What's happening in your life?
Well, my daughter had a symbol on her mirror that she saw one morning, and it's like an inverted double tetrahedron. Any clue what that might be?
Well, I tell you, I'm having trouble envisioning this.
What is
inverted?
It looks more like an hourglass, like two pyramids.
Okay.
With the tips touching instead of the double tetrahedron, where the lines are together instead the tips are together.
Okay.
Now, what were the tips together, or did the tips overlay one another?
They were just meeting each other.
Well, they'll meet each other.
Yeah, and then there was a bar across a little ways down from the top, almost to the middle, and then up from the bottom, a little bar or line across.
Oh, now that's interesting.
Yeah, we took some pictures of it. It wasn't there the day before, so I not sure what it's supposed to mean.
Now, the bar, because what I've done is, as you're discussing this, I'm drawing it on the paper. The bar at the top and at the bottom, did that go through the two lines of the pyramid, or did it just go from, say, one line to the other?
It goes through the whole pyramid. The whole triangle, yep.
Okay. Well, that's...
On the top and the bottom, and... We looked up on the internet to look up ancient symbols and such, and
you didn't find anything.
No, didn't find anything like that.
No, no, that's very interesting.
Now,
the two triangles look like an hourglass. The two points came together, and then there was a bar through both of the triangles, about two thirds of the way down.
Yeah. Yes.
Well, does anything come to mind with you, Charlene? You're commenting like
not
this
the
is
lines,
familiar.
The pyramids, yes, because the pyramids. Is your daughter Carrie?
Yes.
Okay. Well, I'm going to be sending you the pyramids.
What do you mean, sending her the pyramids?
Well, I told her I would send her the pyramids that I have, the pictures.
Okay.
Are any of those like that?
They don't have the line through, but they have the other.
Or do they meet like
yes.
a double tetrahedron, only
right. Cause when
only
God
inverted?
Gave me, okay, when God gave me these symbols, I didn't know what he was giving them to me for. So then I did a book with a lady, and I put them on the front and the back. But the pyramid really does have the same dimensions under the ground as above it. It's the same dimensions.
So maybe you're sending this through
when he gave them to me, he gave me like this other symbol, and it's actually what you're verbalizing to me right now.
Really?
He had it like it was the pyramid and it was swirling in one direction, and then the tips of both the pyramids are set together and the other one's swirling the other way.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah. That's what he gave me a few years ago.
Well, how are you interpreting this, Charlene?
Well, I don't know about the line.
Yeah, the line is... Well, I will send you a picture of it, Charlene.
Okay,
and
yeah, because I actually tell her I'll be calling her tomorrow anyway.
Okay, all right.
But
Jean, send me a picture of it in my email.
Yeah.
Okay. Because I think there's a little bit more to this than
I'll now have to ask him why the two lines.
Yeah. Yeah, it's like a bar across the top triangle and the bottom triangle. And the first thing I thought of was the double tetrahedron, and then I thought, oh no, that doesn't meet at the tips. That meets at the angles or at the lines.
At the base, yeah.
Yeah. So.
Yeah.
Send it to me too. I will. Carrie's got the pictures, but I will download it. In my computer, and I will send it to you, Caroline, and I will send Charlene's in the mail, because I know you don't have email.
Okay, because
so.
What I've got to do is I'm going to have to ask him what the two lines are.
Yeah.
Because
I'll see what we can find out from the records.
Yeah, do that.
Yeah, we're getting up here very close to the end of our time, Jean. I'm real glad you called. Send it to us. We'll get some more information on it for you, dear.
Okay, sounds great.
Okay.
Thanks, Jean.
Thanks. Have a great evening.
Okay,
you too,
bye-bye.
Dear.
Thanks. Bye-bye.
Bye. Something that I want to mention before we go is on the 25th of this month, Archangel Michael is going to come and work with us on a conference call. And the information that he is covering is going to be on the standing wave, this, I believe, is going to be extremely important. The standing wave is found in the pyramid. It is found at sacred sites where the cosmic energies come and connect to the electromagnetic energies of the Earth. And it
say
is
that all over again.
The standing wave is found in the pyramid at Cheops. It is found at sacred sites. And what it is, it's a place where cosmic energies come and join the electromagnetic energies from the Earth. And it is a point of great healing. And Archangel Michael, Yeshua, and Master Kasumi are going to bring these three waves together to make a standing wave and teach us how to use this for healing. So you can go to my website, www.carolynevers.com, CarolynEvers.com, and you go up to the right-hand button for conference call, and it's under the February schedule. I think it's a real place to be. So you can check that out. Charlene, one more time, darling, your number. Quickly.
Okay. Mountain Standard Time, 801-944-9346.
So we thank all of you out there for tuning in, listening to our show. I know I was delighted to be here and to serve with you and Charlene.
Okay.
I know
thank you so much. And we'll teach you more next time.
Goodbye, everyone.
Bye-bye.